بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the last time we began the discussion on riba, interest, usury, the prohibition, the ill effects of it. Many ahadith in regards to the prohibition of interest, usury, and more than that, the Quranic ayat that have been revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibiting interest, riba. Wahiya mufassirin say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed six verses making riba, usury, haram, prohibited. Like how you find in other ayat in regards to khamar, wine, alcohol. There Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had revealed three ayat gradually. Finally, the last ayat that made it completely haram. When it came to the aspect of parda and hijab, there also three ayat. Finally, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Now cling to your homes, that the masturat should remain within the homes, and much detail. When it comes to riba, interest, usury, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed six ayat, one after the other. Much detail, we were discussing the kitab, this tafsir is from Ma'arif al-Quran, and we find it befitting that we discuss it in detail. It's almost 20 pages of tafsir in regards to the ayat and riba. We will read from this tafsir for the next few mornings, inshallah, bi tawfiqillah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the first ayat that was revealed one after the other, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبِيعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبِيعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا فَمَنْ جَاءُهُ مُعِزَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَهَى فَلَهُ مَا سَلَفَ وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ عَادَ فَأُولَئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. We'll do the basic tarjuma, translation within tafsir of it. The remaining ayat continue thereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights in Quran Sharif, those who take riba, usury, or interest, will not stand but as stands the one whom the shaitan has driven crazy by his touch. The one who takes interest or riba will not stand, that is on the day of Qiyamah. Allah ta'ala speaks about those that take interest, how they will stand and be raised on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah ta'ala says they will not stand but as the one who has been touched by shaitan and driven mad, that is how he will stand on the day of Qiyamah. That is because they have said, trading, commerce, business is like riba. It's but like riba, it's the same. وَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبِيعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَا. And Allah Ta'ala has permitted trading and made haram prohibited riba, said the same. So whoever receives an advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stops, he is allowed what has passed and his matter is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمْرُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. His affair is by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the ones who revert back to riba, usury, those are the people of Jahannam, the fire. They remain forever. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah destroys riba, usually interest, and nourishes and multiplies charities. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like any sinful disbeliever. Surely those who believe and do good deeds, establish salah and zakat, have their reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no fear for them, nor shall they grieve. O those who believe, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, fear Allah, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullah. And give up what still remains of the riba if you are believers. But if you do not, then listen to the declaration of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And if you repent, you make tawbah, yours is your principle, neither you wrong nor be wronged. And if there be one, in misery in difficult times, then deferment till ease, the person who is in difficult times, poverty, etc., then give him respite, then deferment till ease. And that you leave it as charity is far better for you, if you really know. And be fearful of a day when you shall be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everybody shall be paid in full what he has earned, and they shall not be wronged. This is the basic translation of the six ayat and verses of riba. Then Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimullah goes into detail that how this entire system of interest and riba has consumed the world and the evil effects of it. From these ayat and verses begins the description of the forbiddance of riba and the injunctions relating to its unlawfulness. This issue is very important from different angles. On the one hand, there are severe warnings of the Quran, Sharif and Sunnah, and on the other, it has been taken today as an integral part of the world economy, that we can't do without it. We have to have a bank account, and whatever it may be thereafter. The desired liberation from it seems to be infested with difficulties. For us to get rid of riba is like almost an impossibility. Wherever we turn, in this account, this savings account, in business, etc. So he says the liberation from riba, from interest, seems to be infested with difficulties. The problem is very detail-orientated and has to be taken up in all possible aspects. First of all, we have to deliberate and explain the correct interpretation of these verses of the Quran Sharif and into what has been said in authentic ahadith, and then determine what riba is in the terminology of Quran Sharif and Sunnah. Now a person might have his own concept of what is interest. He won't regard this as interest. This is profit. Sharia compliant profit. So the words have changed also. When it comes to certain types of drinks around us, brothers are aware, they have de-alcoholized wine also. That it is wine, but no alcohol in there. We're just playing with the terms only. So what is riba in regards to Quran and Hadith? What transactions it covers? What is the underlying wisdom behind the prohibition of riba and interest? And what sort of harm brings to society? The second aspect of riba is intellectual and economic. Is it true, as I say, is it true that riba guarantees the economic development of the world? So much so that its suspension, to take out riba, to abolish riba, will categorically result in the destruction of trade and general economic activity. Is this true? Oh, this whole evil cycle is nothing but the brainchild of those heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter. Otherwise, all economic problems can be solved without it as well. Going a step further, we can even say that the economic peace in the world depends on the elimination of riba. That is definitely from Quran and Hadith. Let alone the resolution of its problems. Riba is the greatest cause of all the economic maladies of the world. The second aspect involves the discussion of an economic problem under which come long debates which are not related to the tafsir of Quran Sharif. Therefore, we shall restrict ourselves to dealing with the first aspect only, which requires no less details either. Here we have a total of six ayat, six verses, which state the prohibition of riba and set forth related injunctions. Out of these, the first sentence of the first ayat points out to the sad end of those involved in interest transactions and to the disgraceful and disheveled nature of the arising on the day of Qiyamah. It is said that those who consume riba, interest, do not stand except like a man who has been driven crazy by the embrace of some shaitan or demon. It appears in a hadith that the word la yaqumuna, to stand, or la yaqumun, do not stand, that they will not stand, means that the rising of the dead from their graves on the day of Qiyamah, in the sense that the dealer in riba, when he rises from his grave, will rise like the madman who has been driven crazy by some shaitan or jinn. Allah Ta'ala save us. This is how you will stand on the day of Qiyamah. And you see a person also mad in the streets or anywhere else, you feel sorry for him. Look at his condition. Although a person now dealing with riba seems to be very intellectual and very clever, the day of Qiyamah, he has no sense whatsoever. The first thing we find out from this sentence is that a human being can faint or go mad under the influence of jinns and shaitan, and the observations of those who had such experience prove it. Hafiz ibn Qayyim rahimahullah al-Jawziyah, he says, has confirmed that physicians and philosophers have conceded that epilepsy, fainting or madness are caused by several different reasons, one of which at times could also be the input of shaitan. Those who reject this have no other argument in their favor except that obviously it is too far out to believe. It can happen. A person has epilepsy, or he becomes insane at times, or he faints. It could be because of the touch of some jinn also. The second point to be noted here is that the Quran does not say that the consumers of riba will rise in a state of madness or insanity. Instead, it refers to a peculiar condition of lunacy, or fit, or stupefaction, as if someone has been embraced by shaitan and driven crazy. So it implies that he looked like that person who has been driven crazy by shaitan. Perhaps this carries the hint, there's some indication, that a person struck with lunacy or fit is at times found inactive and silent, while usually these people will not be found in that dormant state, those people who consume interest. Instead, they will be identified by their ranting, raving and crazy doings in the day of Qiyamah as a result of the satanic touch. Perhaps there might be yet another hint in this ayat. It is commonly noticed that human senses come to a flat nothing. He has no sense whatsoever after fainting or insanity following a sickness. The very feeling of pain or punishment is just not there. But these people who consume interest will not be found in that state on the day of Qiyamah. On the contrary, they would feel with full sensitivity the pain and the punishment like one shadowed by a demon. Now at this point we have to look for a certain compatibility in crime and punishment. Here Sharia, subhanallah, whatever guna a person does in this world is a befitting punishment in Akhirat also. For the sin that he does in this world, there's an effect of this in Akhirat also. So how this now synchronizes? When punishment comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person or a group against a certain crime, sin, it is certainly appropriate to the crime. Therefore, raising the consumers of interest without sense, they don't have senses on the day of Qiyamah, is perhaps a sign of a certain type of paralysis. Isn't it that the consumer of riba is so drunk with his greed for money that he is neither kind to any poor, nor does he blush before anyone what he does? Since he was really senseless during his lifetime in the world, he was senseless, he felt nothing. That he lent the money, but he took back extra. He didn't feel pity in the heart. Since he was really senseless during his lifetime in the world, he was raised on the day of Qiyamah in that same condition. Or maybe he was so punished. He was so punished because in the mortal world, he demonstrated his lack of reason as reason. That is, he declared interest to be like trade. Therefore, he was made to rise all deprived of his sanity. And the day of Qiyamah, we'll have to answer questions. So imagine a person doesn't have sanity. How is he going to answer now? Also noteworthy here is that the fact that the verse uses the expression that eating of riba, يَأْكُلُونَ riba, that they will consume riba. Whereas now he's taking interest. So Allah Ta'ala declares this, consuming, eating riba, is by application means the taking and using of riba. He takes riba and uses riba. This may be in eating or clothing or housing as and its furnishings. The person buy HP, buy on credit card, furniture, etc., or clothing. So Allah Ta'ala says they eat it or they consume it. But it was identified with the act of eating because that which is eaten cannot possibly be retrieved, contrary to other type of uses where things can be taken back. Therefore, total possession and monopoly are expressed through the word eating. This metaphor is found not only in the Arabic language, but in Urdu, Persian and several other languages, English, eat, or the stronger word, devour. After that comes the second sentence, in which giving the reason for this punishment. Why will he be punished for this consuming of interest? It has been said that these people have committed two crimes. The one that takes interest. One, they consume the prohibited haram by dealing in riba. The second thing, they took it to be lawful. And in reply to those who declared it to be haram, they told them that buying and selling is very much like riba. Justified it. Just as profit is derived from riba, so is profit derived from buying and selling. If riba is haram, teeth should be haram also. This is their reasoning. Although it is not prohibited in the sight of anyone. Here, given the dictates of the situation, they might have said that riba interest is also like trade. So, when trade is halal, riba should be halal also. But they, by changing the style of their statement, took a sort of mocking plunge at those who said that riba is haram, thereby telling them, in effect, if you say riba is haram, then you must say that trade is also haram. Play of words. How they will change the terminology also. Is only profit. That if trade is haram, this also haram. That is halal, also halal. So they play with words only. In the third sentence, in reply to what these people said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated their position by saying that these people regard riba as equal to trade, although there is a world of difference between the two in accordance with the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made one halal and the other haram, how could they be equal? How can you make a statement like this? Keeping this reply in mind, you should note that the objection raised by those people, the defenders of riba, was based on a purely rational argument. They say, aqal chalana, just using their academics. They were simply saying that since both activities aimed at earning profit, business and riba, the governing injunction should also be one and the same. Subhanallah, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala did not answer their rational doubt, but a parallel rational explanation. Rather, on the contrary, answering in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute, sovereign master of all, and He alone knows the harm and benefit, the good and bad of everything, and most comprehensively. When Allah ta'ala declares something to be halal and something else to be haram, we should immediately realize that there must be some loss or harm or evil in that which Allah ta'ala declared as haram. Even if one does or does not see through it, this is because the actual reality of this whole system of riba and interest and the benefit and harm that lies within it can only be encompassed by the same alim, the knower, that is Allah, and the khabir, the one that is all aware, from whose reach of knowledge the minutest particle of the world cannot escape. This is all in the knowledge of Allah. Allah made it haram is haram. Don't bring parallels. That is halal, so this also could be halal. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah, we continue tomorrow. Subhanakallah.